Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Once again, everyone, I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Also by the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, my new book, available at bookbaby.com and amazon.com, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. In 1991, Ian Anderson, Jack Bruce, and Al DiMeola became founding members of Leslie Manduca's band Project Manduca Soulmates, and for almost three decades, Leslie Manduca has continued to unite a who's who of the icons of Anglo-American and European rock and jazz rock in the Manduca Soulmates band. The remarkable lineups in the band's recordings and performances over the years has included singers and players including Ian Anderson, Jack Bruce, David Clayton Thomas, Chaka Khan, Chris Thompson, Bobby Kimball, Steve Luthiger, Eric Burden, Greg Lake, and Al DiMeola, Randy and Michael Brecker, and also Peter Frampton and John Lord. The Soulmates concerts are marked by the musical synergy of all these musical icons united in one supergroup of Grammy Award-winning legends, where everyone's egos come second. Original Soulmates compositions and collective improvisations on highest levels are just as much part of the concerts as world-renowned hits of the individual Soulmates members. One stage, one band. With the Soulmates, Leslie Manduca raises jazz rock back to social political relevance. To quote him in his own words, even in times of Twitter, social media, and short news on the smartphone, when mental laziness often blocks perception, music for us is still like a love letter to our audience, handwritten with ink on paper. The band is pure sophisticated jazz rock, or as the late Greg Lake once put it, one of the best bands you will ever hear. As the world continues to be consumed by the COVID-19 pandemic, Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson sings and plays flute with Manduca Soulmates, mastermind and leader Leslie Manduca. Manduca has found inspiration and a new spark of hope amidst the chaos. He has penned a powerful new song in appreciation for the heroes who have emerged in this global crisis. The nurses, doctors, and other healthcare providers, as well as the grocery store clerks and food delivery personnel who have stepped up to serve the communities. The new song entitled simply, We Say Thank You, expresses so clearly the feelings of gratitude many of us felt in these troubled times. The duet is available through the Purple Pyramid, an imprint of indie giant Cleopatra Records, Inc., and is Manduca Soulmates' first release in the recently linked partnership with the LA-based label. Additional Manduca releases are set to follow later this year. Leslie will be donating the royalties from the sales, syncs, and airplay of We Say Thank You to a to-be-announced charity. We Say Thank You was written in the context of Leslie's own isolation in Germany, where his doctor's wife, Dr. Wife Eva, is a first-contact physician. Ian and Leslie have worked together for 20 years on various collaborations with his jazz rock band, Soulmates, featuring the good and great of classic rock and jazz. Manduca Soulmates toured North America in 2018. Please welcome to Interviewing the Legends, singer, drummer, record producer, and actor, Leslie Manduca. Hello, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you, first of all, to your wife. being there and the first responder. What kind of doctor is she?
She's general practitioner, so she's a truly first responder, especially for elderly people. So she's running a big business, what she was building up, and she had five other doctors employed around her, and you know, this is a big place, and affected people with the virus. She's responsible for those elderly people, and they are really worried. And so she's bringing home every day the fear of the people of this pandemic. So it was on very early stage. She was prepared to, you know, end of January, as we saw these horrible pictures from North Italy and then Spain.
Right.
And my son, actually our son, was working in Barcelona at the time on a project as a musician and designer. And so we knew how those territories were affected already in the early stage. And also my Chinese musician friends were calling from Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong. And they were just really telling the horrible stories. So we were in a very early stage. I felt myself strongly affected. So I was sending my stuff from the studio home, and we were trying to protect everyone around us.
Have you had to isolate from your wife at all?
Not really, because I know that that is a kind of danger, but she was protecting herself perfectly.
Right.
From the day before the 0 day, so she was well protected in the way she worked. So I took that minimal risk because I was testing her. But I was she was testing me every week. She still does it. So that to being safe. And you know, the kids came home, and you know, we were just sort of, the family was together. I still, I mean, every day, although my kids are 30 and 28 and 26. So everybody came home, and somehow it was a kind of a wonderful side effect that when this fear of this horrible pandemic came up, that everybody's sticking together and kind of feels united very much.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. I was surprised the world was so united on this, you know. It reminds me, you know, if we're ever attacked by aliens from space, I think they'll do okay.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, this is what we have to do, and we have to keep the spirit, because the division in the world, you know, is so horrible, and we have to bridge over these gaps. That's why our new album, it's called "Living in the Gap." You know, it's about the news bubbles and the in echo chambers we are living in. So, and we just bridge over the divisions and let's unite again, and let's maintain a little. And fine-tune our value system, you know, that be more careful and more human. And so this is a very, it's a difficult time, it's a very challenging time, and we should get out as a better society, as a better man out of this, better me and better us, and to feel this unity there together. That's what we are all up to.
I agree 100%, and you know, we say thank you is an incredible song. I really, really enjoyed that. You have, I guess, three different versions of that song, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is shows how it came up, you know.
Uh-huh.
So first of all, I'm the guy who is holding the torch on, you know, that our music is a handwritten love letter to our audience, and we record analog, and you know, so we are all together in the studio and all this. Of course, I'm running the largest studio complex of mainland Europe. Of course, we are total digital as well, but I kept all the wonderful vintage analog machines for so much. You know, that we are always doing this as we play it as it comes down, you know, the really virtuous playing. But at this time, I was on my own. No engineer around me, no other musicians, so I had to record on my own. And so, I was singing on my own. And then I was sending it around the tape, not the tape, you know, the digitally.
Sure.
Of course, the recording, and so Bobby Kimball of Toto was singing background vocal, and Chris Thompson of Manfred Mann,
mm-hmm.
singing background vocal. But first of all, the legendary Ian Anderson, the mastermind of Jethro Tull, I said, hey, let's do that together. So, and he was sending me his flute and vocal tracks.
Yeah.
And then that's, then they release that, you know, and as a second version, then the Legend of Supertramp, John Helleborn was calling me, Leslie, what a wonderful song you wrote. Send me the stuff, I would love to add a saxophone on it. And then Randy Brecker, the 13 Grammy winner, legend from New York City, he's sitting with his family in a hot spot of the pandemic. He said, I'm in my isolation, so let me go down to my basement and play a wonderful trumpet on it. So then, with Steve Bailey, the chair of Berkeley's bass department from Boston, was calling me and said, Leslie, I would love to add a bass to it. And then, you know, so you know, bit by bit, Simon Phillips was calling me, my drummer mate of Toto from California, and I said, what about if I'm also playing a drum track? I'm a drummer myself, but then we shared the drumming. So it was growing. So we always, you know, released one more. So we kind of united digitally for a better world, you know, so to bridge over all the gaps and then just to sing for a better world. And it's very important to say thank you now for the doctors, to the nurses, to the supermarket workers, to everybody who keeps the world running, even if it's a little slower. You know, and we would like to say thank you also to you. I mean, the radios are sending us messages and it keeps us feel good about nice moments of life still, and, you know, the journalists who are delivering to us solid news, and so many people, you know, you just, the water happens and the water comes out, you know, someone is behind it, and the internet is working and all this. So this is, so many people are in the everyday heroes, and we know that it's so beautiful that they are all out there and they're helping us to keep the world turning. And it's just time to say thank you, and we also would like to donate, you know, so to create fundings with this song, and whoever is in need. And we know that so many people lost the job, and so many fear about tomorrow. So and the musicians who we are, you know, we would like to say thank you, because our voice as rock musicians are only as loud as the love of our audience, and now is the time to give back, because due to the love of our audience, we were walking on the sunny side of life, and now we should look on the other side. You know, people have just lost the job, and they you know, fear about the next checks they have to send out, and paying the bills and all the rest of it. So that they struggle with so many things. So here we are, and we would like to say thank you, and we would like to donate and help to the people who are coming to our concert, buying our music for our whole life. So it's time to let me say thank you.
You know, it's the little things that make these people happy, you know, especially, you know, like you said, the grocery workers. I say thank you to everybody during this time. You know, if I pick up my groceries, you know, which I've been doing outside the building, you know, I call ahead of time and they have it ready for me and they come put it in the car. I give them a big tip, too, by the way, because I really appreciate what they're doing. But it's the little things like that. Just saying thank you makes a big difference in their lives. It really does.
Yeah, that we feel united. You know, this is so, so important that we overcome everything that's dividing us. This is really important. This virus, this is such a challenge, and this is the time to get together as one and to feel that we overcome everything what is tearing us apart.
You know, Leslie, you did a wonderful job in the studio, because the sound's incredible. I guess the engineering that you did or whatever. And you know, Ian never sounded so good. You know, I know he was having problems with his voice, and he's got the COPD problem now, which was recently announced. But he sounded good, very good on that release.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, but I'm engineering for my lifetime. You know, I'm sitting either behind the drums and singing, or at my piano or guitar and composing and or writing the lyrics, or sitting behind my desk and I'm doing it for my whole life. I studied this, and I'm one of these folks, you know, that for you lucky ones who are Americans, and I feel yourself lucky for that, because it's just a privilege to be born in the USA. I was born behind the Iron Curtain.
Right.
And this is a struggle if you, you're living in a, you know, and a dictator is ahead of you, above you, and you're never reading some, you know, free newspaper or whatever. So, so my life was kind of different, because, I was growing up, as a young kid behind the Iron Curtain, and, we never really had a record, and a vinyl. I was a proud owner of a fourth generation mono tape copy of Aqualung of Chetotal.
Yep.
And, I was a young teenager and I was trying to write down the lyrics, and my English was so lousy because, you know, behind the Iron Curtain, we were not, even I'm an academic, we were not learning English or French or German. We were learning only Russian as a foreign language because the idea of the communist person in the Second World is going to, you know, speak only Russian from Cuba to North Korea and China and everywhere. So, and the music was what was really the bridge to the freedom. And as my father died as I was 16, and under his deathbed, he said to me, "My son, you have to promise to me that my grandchildren will never read censored papers." And I said, "Daddy, but, you know, there is the Iron Curtain." And he said, "My son, is not for you. So you have to find your way, and you have to go to freedom, to the West. You have to go to America. And you have to promise that you live your dreams and you don't dream your life." So, and as you were saying this before we started the talk, it was like I escaped through a tunnel. I almost got killed by the communists, and I was touching down a refugee camp in Germany, and an American officer asked me, "Say, hey boy, I really do understand why you escaped communism, but tell me, what would you like to do now here? What is your dream? What is your vision?" And I said, "I would like to play with Aldi Meola and Ian Anderson of Shepard Howell and Chuck Booth of Cream." So, and I was so privileged that around 29 years ago, they were the founding members of the Mandukya Soulmates. And since then, we've been trying to do this visionary music, what I had promised to my dad as I was 16 and he was dying. He lost his fight against cancer. So, and if we'll face this pandemic now, and this horrible virus is in the air, And you're perfectly right. I mean, we see these heroes of our days are the grocery clerks and you know, the doctors and the nurses and everybody who's helping us to keep everybody. I mean, it counts now. And I'm so thankful to everyone. And so that's why, you know, after all this, we played from Shanghai to Moscow to from Buenos Aires to London and Paris and then up and down in Germany, of course. Even our last concert with our new album was on the 9th of November, which was the 30th anniversary that the Berlin Wall came down. And so I'm very happy that our first release is going to happen in a couple of weeks, that we released our new album, Living in a Gap and Hungarian Pictures. And this is about the unity of mankind. And I was born behind the Iron Curtain. By heart, I'm an American. And my best friend who was living with me, Hungary, as we were 22, and we were crossed through a tunnel and almost got killed, and we came to West, and he was sitting next to me as the officer asked us in a refugee camp, and he said, "And Gabor, what would you like to do in here in Germany?" He said, "Nothing at all. I would like to go to America because I'm a cartoonist, I'm a young filmmaker, and I have a vision, and I would like to build a cartoon studio in Hollywood." And that's what he did. And his first success was Simpsons, and then Rugrats, and The Real Monsters, and Duckman. His name is Gabor Chukwu. So he made his Hollywood dream come true.
You know, it's amazing, with all the tough times, you know, you and your friend have had the determination to make it, you know, to make it big, and you did. Yeah, that's a lesson to all of us that don't, you know, have it pretty easy. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the vision and the dreams and the music was, you know, always the driving force in my life. You know, to write the right words, the right melody, to produce the right songs and on the right time and to create something for the people. And I feel myself so privileged when the people are coming to my concert and they're letting me into their heart and their soul, you know, and they're interested in my heart, in my soul. It propels our, you know, our creativity. This is so important. And I feel myself extremely privileged and honored that all these legendary icons are playing with me almost 30 years now, like you know, John Halliwell of Superfan, mm-hmm. and Chris Thompson of Manfred Earthband, and Bobby Kimmel of Toto, you know, so there's all these folks, and a great legendary Greg Lake and John Lord, you know, Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, sure. John Lord from the Purple, you know, so and also but the younger geniuses like what an incredible blessing to play with him is Corey Henry, you know, from New York City, from mm-hmm. Brooklyn, or Richard Bona. I mean, and it's just wonderful musicians, and Aldi Meola and Mike Stern on guitar, Steve Lukather on guitar. I mean, what a blessing that they are, and that I'm having the privilege to write the songs and you know, write the words and create the whole arrangements and you know, make it happen. And this is what something incredibly wonderful. And one thing is was kind of missing in my life. It was the United States. You know, we were playing everywhere. And 2 years ago, we were invited by the Grammy organization to the Beacon Theater, right. The legendary Beacon Theater in New York mm-hmm. City. Scorsese was shooting the famous Rolling Stones film Shine a Light. And so we were playing first time in New York. And as in New York, it was a standing ovation. And you know, I had really tears in my eyes, and I said, okay, I'm so happy that the Cleopatra Records in Los Angeles now is going to release a new album, a double album actually, and so that's what was my dream, to come to America and you know, bring back home this iconic, legendary progressive rock, jazz rock music, where we were inspired by. And yep. You know, to my American listeners now, I really would like to say how thankful we are, Eastern Europeans, that you were freeing us from the communists, and then you were giving us always the light and the hope that there is freedom. And let's appreciate right now, when this pandemic is shutting down our lives, and that we think that we are free. And this is so important, the freedom. And let's unite on that space.
You know who else had a kind of similar story when he was younger, and he escaped the Iron Curtain, was John Kay from Steppenwolf. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We spoke about that.
Yeah, he ended up in Canada, but then came to the United States. But he, you know, he was shot at, and he had to, you know, cross the Iron, you know, the Iron Curtain, I guess, and him and his family, and he had a pretty good story as well. You don't hear that too many stories like that anymore, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is thanks God, thanks to America.
Yeah.
The communism has gone, you know, right. And later on, I became a close friend of Mikhail Gorbachev.
Oh, really?
Because once he said that rock music, American rock music, was a huge weapon to tear down the wall and to destroy the Iron Curtain, and so I was visiting him once in Moscow, and we became friends, and he was visiting me here in my little musical kingdom by the Lake Starnberg nearby Munich, and we have telephone calls and then the emailing, and we see each other every now and then, at least twice a year,
right.
And I learned a lot, you know, about how he appreciated Mikhail Gorbachev, the American spirit of freedom, and his first visit in the United States, how much he changed, and especially his late wife, Lesa Maximova Gorbacheva, and the way she was telling in my kitchen, Leslie, it was so wonderful to be first time in America, and I understood the spirit, and we understood that we have to bring down the Iron Curtain, and I'm very thankful that the Hungarians were doing this, and the country where I was born, my native country, that they had this longing for freedom, this spirit of freedom to bring down the wall, and it's happened. So it's a wonderful moment of life, and so I'm very thankful to this.
I'm originally from the D.C. area, from the Washington, D.C. area, and I had a business downtown when Gorbachev came, and he, you know, his motorcade, he would get out of the car and shake hands with everybody. And I got to see him, and I was actually right behind his motorcade, which was humongous. It was, I never saw anything like it. So guarded, you know. It was pretty neat. Very, very exciting to see.
Oh, well, he was telling me this story that he just wanted to feel the American spirit. So right. That's why he was getting out.
Just walking out of his limousine.
I always thought, you know, with music we can change the world. I was a small kid as Woodstock happened, you know.
Right.
But we felt the spirit because it was forbidden.
Yeah.
So we knew this is something important, yeah. You know. And I'm very thankful that I had the chance to learn from all these iconic legends, you know, like Ian Anderson, mm-hmm. You know, with all these folks, and you know, this is the Anglo-Saxon, the spirit of freedom, and it's so important, and this it just really I appreciate a lot this privilege, this is honor to play with all these wonderful musicians, and you know, and trying to be relevant in a way, in many ways.
Yep.
So, and in the way what we're doing, and the way we play the music, the way we write the songs, and the messages what we are trying to bring across in our shows,
sure.
In our, you know, music. Of course, it's today's streaming, but nevertheless, we are trying to reach the people with this handmade music, and. Also in a digital age, but this is also a way to cross over the bridges and to build unity and to keep it in a digital age as human as possible.
Leslie, I want to say I love the Soulmates, man. I love the band. I love the new album, you know, Living in the Gap plus Hungarian Pictures. It's a great album. You know, it's my, you know, it that's the musicianship. It's incredible, you know. Some of my favorite songs, of course, I like "Living in the Gap," which is also that's an official video on YouTube. "Young Rebels," that's also on YouTube as a video, and the videos are really cool, by the way.
Thank you.
"Where We Belong," a beautiful track. "Let the Music Show" on the way. I talked to David Clayton Thomas about you. And, you know, as a matter of fact, most of the people you have in the band I've interviewed, and they have talked about you in previous interviews. But
wonderful.
I really noticed David Clayton Thomas on that right away, on that track. All the songs are great, you know. The Hungarian Pictures, you know, all I got to do is hear the medley on it. But I heard some prog tracks on there, some music that sound a little proggy also, which I love.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great album. The only thing I worry about, you got such a massive band. I want you guys to tour the United States. I know you did New York. It's got to be expensive.
Thank you. But you know what? We have a, you know, so much thankfulness in our heart for our audience. So it's time to get out and just play for you. I mean,
yes.
It's just progressive rock is alive, jazz rock is alive, and we have so much to say. And as soon as, you know, the pandemic is allowing us to have larger crowds again in the venues or in open air stuff, we'll be with you and we're gonna play. So and because it's so much fun, it's so much joy to be around, and this is such a privilege to be able to do it. So this is really important.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are going to be very successful on a tour because, you know, there's so many bands that put together these all-star groups, you know, like Ringo and his all-star band, Happy Together Tour, all the cruises, you know, they have all these all-stars on there. But you guys are unique, very unique, because it's not just them, you know, it's a different class, you know, of music. You know, you got.
I think we're playing new, fresh music. So,
exactly.
Of course, at the end of the show, I mean, we play our classics, but
right.
But in the actually, the real thing is that we are together to create new stuff. You know,
exactly.
Together to this joy, this united creativity. You know that this is so wonderful. You know, different age groups. You know, different works of music. I mean, jazz and jazz rock and Eldie together with Ian Anderson, almost 30 years. I mean, just this wonderful combinations of rock voices and complex progressive rock, but also kind of, this is a kind kind of pop music what we're doing. It's a pop rock music with a kind of sophisticated elements and a kind of a bit heartful poetical lyrics and try to bring across messaging. So that's what we are. And you know, this is just so wonderful to have all these different spices in this musical kitchen.
What I like too, you got that element of improvisation, which I love. It's kind of like, you know, how Steely Dan was put together, you know, with all the musicians. And also, it reminds me of like the Spectrum album, you know, with Billy Cobham, you know, how they all got together.
Yeah. I was growing up with the Spectrum album. I mean, this was, unfortunately, I had a lousy mono tape copy of that, first of all. And it was one of the first records that I was escaping communism. And I was in freedom, and then I was buying it, you know, that I was so proud of the Spectrum album. Hey, what a wonderful album. Absolutely. It's a classic.
I know Billy Cobham. He's been on a couple of times, and you know, he's one of my favorite drummers of all time, next to you, of course.
Thank you. I mean, I studied as a little boy everything what he was doing, everything. I mean, I could play along to his stuff. Like I learned a lot from him. But he's a genius.
Some of the other songs besides that are on the album. The album's wonderful. I gave it 5 stars, by the way. You know,
thanks so much.
Oh, it's incredible. There's on YouTube, there was the Soulmates had a collective solos, is what it said. That blew me away. That really
blew
me
away. I mean, yeah, we would love to this improvisation. I mean,
I love it.
You know, this is a kind of art of music which should never die.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, jazz was such a cool, you know, and fusion and all that. You know, it's such a shame how it kind of, you know, it's in the background, you know, it's not in the front runner of music anymore like it used to be, but it's still, you know, it's so cool, you know, it's such a cool music, cool genre.
Yeah, great genre, music would not be the music as it is, you know, if you look back, you know, to Jimi Hendrix or Cream with Eric Clapton, or, you know, or Ian Anderson of Flute, or many other guys. So it was so wonderful to see and to learn from all these wonderful soloists, you know, with this incredible knowledge about how to play interesting. You know, long solos, but to keep the fascination of,
exactly.
You know, yeah. If you listen to an Ian Anderson flute solo,
yep,
and
exactly.
Every 4 bars you can make a new song. You know, these wonderful solos like Steve Lukather or Ellie Miller or Mike Stern or Bill Evans or Randy Brecker or his late brother Michael Brecker. Everybody is playing in a way that when you take out 4 bars of his playing, especially, I mean, John Halliwell of Supertramp, everything is a song. Mm-hmm. You know, so like we who write songs, like when I write lyrics, I'm trying to make it so focused that every line of a verse could be a title line, and when we improvise, then everything what you play could be a hook of a song, you know. So this to keep the attention span so wide and it's wonderful. I mean, and when you listen to bass solo of Anthony Jackson, it's wonderful. It's great to have geniuses like Corey Henry on Hammond. I mean, and you were mentioning Living the Gap, our title song of the new album. If
great
you
song.
Just listen to how he's playing his Hammond solo at the end of the song, following the tenor saxophone solo of John Halliwell of Supertramp, and Richard Bona is playing a bass solo and Aldi Meola, and then Corey Henry on Hammond. I mean, this is wonderful combination, and that's what I'm living for. I mean, just to create great, fresh, new music.
Well, I forgot to mention one of my favorite tunes, Hottest Queen of Cool. Oh man. A little Steely Dan feel to that, you know? It's a great song. Oh man. Did you write that one?
Yeah,
that sounds like you.
Yeah, and you know, I was discussing with my little daughter. She's a great songwriter.
Uh-huh.
She wrote a couple of tunes on an album.
That's right.
And she was coming up with this Me Too debate, you know, and we were discussing it. So, my firstborn daughter and my youngest daughter, Julia, is a wonderful singer, songwriter.
Exactly.
And, you know, and they were just telling their impressions about of the man's world. And so it was interesting. So we were just a bit funny about it. And so I wrote the song in the same night, but together with my little daughter, because she walked in as I was sitting at the piano and we were just demoing it together. And it was a wonderful moment of father and daughter.
Oh, I love it. I have a daughter that's 30, let's see, Michelle's about 33, 34 now, and she sings. And, you know, anything that to do with, you know, father and daughter is incredible. It's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, that's something wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
Who sings on I'm Not Your Enemy?
This is my daughter.
That's your daughter also, huh? Yeah, she's great. She's really good.
It's her song. I mean, and, you know, I said to my daughter, Julia, I mean, watch out for this one. What a wonderful life what you have. Your first release of a composition and the lyrics what you've written is played by Corey Henry, by Richard Bona, by Randy Brecker, Mike Stern. You know, can you wish anything more of, like that, you know? But, you know, for her it's so natural because she was growing up here,
right,
a mile away from my studios, and she was a little girl. I took her to the studio. My wife was working as a doctor, so I took her to the studio, like, to my son or my firstborn daughter, too. And, you know, they were hanging out here with Lionel Richie or Phil Collins or, you know, with all the soulmates. And, you know, the kids of soulmates, they were growing up together. So there was also a kind of generation togetherness, which is absolutely great.
That'll be the next generation of soulmates, all the kids.
Yeah, absolutely, because if you see Corey Henry is only 32 years old,
yeah,
right? He's the youngest. Soulmate and Von Broek in New York, I mean, it's a big family, and it's just a huge family.
It's awesome. You know what's interesting is that Ian Anderson and Tall did Budapest, you know, and then you guys became very, very good friends. Did you have any influence in that song, the Jethro Tull song?
You know what? Not. I mean, it's just so funny. I mean, I was born in Budapest, but maybe I'm so far I had an influence on it, but that we talk a lot about Budapest. But if you really want to have a great story, if you listen to this fabulous live recording of Queen, Freddie Mercury is singing a song, as is a Hungarian folk song, and you know, there are, you know, 10,000s of people singing with him.
Right.
How came to that? I mean, I had a little birthday party here in Munich, where I'm living, and this was in a Hungarian restaurant, and Freddie was dropping by, and it was Hungarian gypsy band was playing in this Hungarian restaurant here in Munich. So like it's normal for Hungarians that the leader of the band, the violinist, you call the primas, is coming to the, you know, the one to get celebrated on the birthday party, and he was asking me what kind of song he I would like to sing, and I said okay, so I was singing the song.
Mm-hmm.
So Freddie Mercury was saying, hey Leslie, what a wonderful song, and I had to sing it two more times for Freddie Mercury, and so he said, can you write me down this Hungarian lyrics? So phonetically I wrote down that lyrics, and he sung it then in Budapest in the stadium. I told that to Ian Anderson, the story, but you know, this was the same crazy story as Phil Collins came to me and we did the Tarzan soundtrack, you know, for Disney, and we were looking for someone who could sing it in German,
right,
his song, and I wrote the German lyrics to his songs, and then we couldn't, and I said to Phil Collins, I said, Phil, you know what, I wrote down phonetically in Hungarian for Freddie Mercury, a Queen, that Hungarian folk song. Same way we could write down, you know, the phonetically the German lyrics for that, mm-hmm, was for your songs. And he was looking at me like, what a strange idea, when we did it. And it worked perfectly. And then as the soundtrack received the Grammy and an Oscar, mm-hmm, Phil was so kind to me that he was giving me a little present to the wall of my studio. This original lyrics sheet where my translation of his lyrics was written down by him in a phonetical like I would have written down in Hungarian. So it's you know, it all came together, or like John Lord, as we played together with Peter Frampton and the Soulmates for the 50 Years of Rock shows, and John Lord came up with this true story of Smoke on the Water when Frank Zappa was playing in Montreux and the casino was burning down, and you know, the smoke was on the water, and Richie Blackmore came up with that feel, and then so we started to play this classics like Locomotive Rat and Smoke on the Water, and then so you know, this music is just such a personal thing, and it brings us all together, but for a long, long time we never played our classics because the Madhugi Soulmates band is deferring to any other kind of all-star band that we are not together to play our classics, right. We are together to play fresh new music, to add something new to life. But then, you know, when the encores are coming, then we're just playing our classics.
Well, I agree. I think that's a great formula because, you know, people want to hear the new music, you know? I mean, and then save the classics for the end. That's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, there's actually then there's a big party, but and especially now that Hungarian Pictures is also, I guess, it was such a great story. As Peter Frampton and Ian Anderson, Jack Bruce, they came together with Greg Lake and John Lord. So you know, then was a Linkin Park, but the Purple, Cream, Chapel Tao, Supertramp, Toto, Manfred Mann on the stage, you know, with all the legendary masterminds. And then we were doing the rehearsals. We were hanging out. And one of the days, rehearsal days, during the dinner, Greg Lake and John Lord came up with this idea to talk about Béla Bartók and about the Hungarian Pictures, and they told that Emerson, Lake and Palmer wanted to record it back earlier, but they couldn't because the rights were not free back then. So we agreed that they are going to record this, but very unfortunately, Greg Lake and John Lord lost their fight against cancer, so they are playing now with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Miles Davis. So we just agreed back then that we are going to do it as soon as we are allowed by, you know, copyright law. And so I kept my promise, and as we recorded now Living in the Grab, and we were doing so good, and I said, guys, let's keep the promise. And then we were sitting down, and we were working on Hungarian Pictures with Colin Henry and Richard Bone and Ali Mola, and everybody had a wonderful time. And so we played it also for John Lord, and for Greg Lake, our late soulmates who they had departed, for them. And it was such a wonderful experience as we made the release concerts in Hamburg and Munich and Dortmund and Berlin. Also to celebrate the 30 years of, anniversary of the war came down in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the middle of this progressive rock suite of original written by Béla Bartók, which is rearranged, and I wrote with my daughter a couple of songs as adding additions to that. And all of a sudden, you know, the people gave a standing ovation in the middle of the piece. And it was such a warm, so welcome. So I just can't wait to play in America.
I saw The Journey is Long with your daughter. That was beautiful. I really liked it.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. Julia is a genius. I mean, she's such a blessing to our band. And Journey is Long is a wonderful song. I love it.
She's so cool.
It's about life. And, you know, and I'm saying very often on stage that the best songs of us are our copyrights, but are not written by us. Written by life. And we just wrote them down.
Yeah.
We are just, you know, we just transfer it. You know, this is just happening around us. And we are the chosen ones who have to write the melody and the harmonies and the verse to those moments of life. And The Journey is Long is one of those.
You know, I've interviewed so many people. I mean, you know, thousands, you know, over the years. And the only guy that ever made me nervous when he called me for an interview, and I interviewed him twice, was Ian Anderson. You know, I'm such a big fan, and he's so well versed on history and everything. I mean, you can talk to him about anything and he knows. You know, he's a very intelligent guy. So you got to put on your A game, you know, when you're talking to Ian, you know?
Ian Edison is a guiding light. And if you go to YouTube and you see the Soulmates Weekly, because during the virus is in the air, we are living in the shutdown, we are living in our isolation, and so we are, so I'm alone in my studio, so part of it that I wrote this, we say thank you. What I'm doing with my time, part of new creativity and composing, is I went down to the basement, and I was looking, you know, at my video archive. I really want a photo archive, because my audio archive is perfect. I mean, this is just, but the videos and the, I was just a little messy. And, you know, all different formats and all this. So I was just saying, I'm the analog guy, so I was transferring the, back and forth, you know, everything. And watch it on YouTube, the Soulmates Weekly, and I made it with Ian Anderson, a kind of 15 minutes, little film. The first was Jack Bruce, the second was Peter Maffay, and the third, is, Ian Anderson. Watch out for that one. Or, no, this is the fourth one. And such a nice story, and I can only understand that, you're saying this, because Ian is not only one of the most talented and the most creative personality in the rock and roll industry, but one of the best educated, and most outmost intelligent. He knows everything.
He does. He does know.
And he has an answer on any question. He's always well prepared. He's always on time. He's always nice. He's just a wonderful person. I mean, I feel myself absolutely honored, absolutely privileged, to call him a friend. And I'm not using this word very often. And, he's just the guiding light to my life. And, I feel myself very honored that he's singing with me, and we say thank you. An absolute highlight of my life.
And like you, he's a wonderful interview, you know. I mean, you know, you can start a conversation and he'll go on and on, you know, kind of like you, which is great for us. Because what I hate is when you interview somebody, they say three words and stop. Three words and stop. Drives me crazy, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, we have a colorful life, you know, this, thanks to our audience, and it's giving us the chance to live our dreams, and we owe, you know, something to give back, and at least, you know, and if you see the Soulmates Weekly on YouTube or Facebook, Madhuri Soulmates, and then you, or Insta, and then you see that you get some insight, you know, as we're cooking, say, for instance, I would never thought that I would ever release these, how we are in my kitchen, you know, Ian Anderson, Jack Bruce, and Lindsay Madhuri cooking together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, because it's also something that no one really likes to talk about, that the musicians, we are hanging out in the best restaurants around the world.
Yeah.
But when we are at home, that we don't like to go to restaurants, because we go always to restaurants. So when we are on the road, so we learn from those great cooks around the world, and then we are home, then we love to cook. So actually, every musician I really know, they have two things where they always come on. We don't like to dance, or we can't dance, and ask the wife of a musician, we don't dance. And second thing is that we love to cook. And all the wives are suffering that they have to clean up the kitchen after that. So, because we create great mess, so we love to cook. So this is also a typical musician thing. We make some fun that once we are going to release a recipe book of Soulmates.
Leslie, I got to tell you, man, you would have been a perfect character in Game of Thrones. You've got that look. You know, you should. Didn't you do some acting as well?
Yeah, because I'm making so many scorings, you know, and the directors are always sometimes asking me, you know, can you do a little favor here, a little favor there, right. Act here and there. But I'm not an actor. My first born daughter, she's a great actor. I'm a musician, and if I'm acting, I'm you know, like I'm just myself, you know. So you see me every now and then in a movie, but this is not my profession, you know. This is just for fun, and I'm doing the scoring, and then I do a little thing.
Yeah, actually, you and Ian both would be great in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but I have to give a call to Ian and to talk about it. It would make some fun, yeah, for sure.
Leslie, here's your final question, and I ask this question to everybody, and I get some interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? And you got so many people that you perform with now, it's going to be tough. But you can go way back in history and find somebody there. That's fine.
Well, I think the most joyful moments of life in studio and on stage is with Ian Anderson, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are a great partnership. You really are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful to Light that, you know, that he's a true pal, and I think I would choose Ian.
Good answer.
He's a great guiding light of my life.
Yeah. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna miss him when he retires. I hope he never retires, but you know.
No, we discussed that, Ian and myself. We're not going to retire.
Good. Thank you.
I'm much younger, but we're not going to retire.
So, good. Thank you so much.
Don't worry about that. I mean, the itineraries are filling up for 21, 22, 23, 25.
Good.
Don't worry about it.
Awesome. So, Leslie, what's next? I know you want a tour. What do you have going on right this second now?
Right this second, you know, this damn pandemic, you know, the shutdown, was stopping me to come over to talk to you in person.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm supposed to be there in America now to, you know, to make the interviews and to work on the media, you know, to prepare the release. That's what I would normally do. Instead of that, I'm stuck in my studio. I'm going down to my cellar in the basement, and I'm doing every week a new video, very private, you know, like Ian Anderson, Leslie Mandoki cooking. I will check Bruce, and give a to our audience a little insight. And as soon as I can travel, I come to the United States. Our next concert, which is today, reconfirmed in Eastern Europe, we're opening up now, and they start to, you know, from August 15th, going to be allowed to play again. So we're gonna play a big opener in my home native town, Budapest, on August 22nd. So we have something to add to be back on stage, and I hope that we are very soon back to the United States, and we can play for you. If I have one wish in my life, then I would love to reach the American hearts with this album, Living in the Gap and Hungary in Picture. It's a very, very American album written by a refugee like me, who escaped communism because he had the American vision and an American dream in his heart. So this is actually made for America, this album.
Well, you're going to win the hearts of all Americans with this album for sure. I can guarantee you that. So remember this venue, Ruth Eckerd Hall in Clearwater. We want you to come there. That's normally that's the best venue probably for, you know, Ringo plays there, and it's just the right amount of people for your kind of show. So
wonderful. Deal done. So I will call my concert promoter right away after we spoke, and then I will tell him.
Okay, if you need any help, I can put you in contact with those guys. I know those guys real well.
Okay, they email me. That's wonderful.
Okay, I cover all the shows there.
I love to play for you guys, and keep, stay healthy, safe and sound.
Same to you.
And help each other, and don't forget, we're going to get over this so that we see the light at the end of the tunnel, the silver lining, and we should say thank you for everyone who is keeping the world turning right now, also to you, because the radio is so important nowadays. Give us the feeling that we are united, and bridge over all these gaps, all this diversity, and understand we all unite, we all together, and we're gonna come over, and I see that we're gonna win against the virus, and we unite again. Stay healthy, mm-hmm. All the best, and hope to see everybody very, very soon.
And Leslie, we say thank you to you too, because without music, we can't survive. that's what keeps us going.
Yeah, sure. So let's play and hope to see you soon. Thank you so
all
much
right,
for having me.
Thank you, Lindsay. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Purchase the new double album by Manduki Soulmates, the new double album, Living in the Gap, plus Hungarian Pictures at iTunes Store, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. For more information about Leslie Manduki and Soulmates, visit, he's got lots of places you can visit, www.twitter.com/LeslieManduki, www.manduki, Soulmates.com, www.instagram.com, the Manduki Soulmates, / Facebook. He's on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Manduki.soulmates. Manduki Soulmates with Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull website. Jethro Tull's website is www.jethrotull.com. And sorry about that ringing in the background. It happens. And also, very special thanks to Miss Ann Layton of Media Music Services Motivation for arranging this interview with our friend and buddy here, Leslie Manduki, and for arranging this. Purchase the new double album by Manduki Soulmates, the new double album Living in the Gap plus Hungarian Pictures at iTunes Store, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. For more information about Leslie Manduki and Soulmates, visit their very many sites like www.twitter.com/LeslieManduki, www.manduki-soulmates.com. They're also on Instagram, www.instagram.com/TheManDukiSoulmates. Also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/TheManDukiSoulmates. Also, Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull's website at www.jethrotull.com. Very special thanks to Ann Layton, Media Music Services, Motivation, for arranging this interview with Leslie Manduki and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com and please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And of course, my new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. Chronicles, truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. Order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Stay safe. Keep healthy. Have a great weekend. Great week, everybody. Take care.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.